You are locked into Locked On Badgers on a Tuesday as Ben and I, my name is Asher, by the way, Ben and I get this thing started and talk a little off season. And no, it's not quite the off season yet. It's still bowl season, Ben. We haven't decided which bowl game Wisconsin's going to be going to yet. We will find out soon. But it's a getting to that time where questions are swirling, jobs are opening, Lincoln Riley's taking private jets here, private texts are leaking from Brian Kelly there. You got all these sorts of weird things going on. It's college football offseason. It's the coaching carousel, all that good stuff. How does Wisconsin fit into it all? We're going to talk about that on today's episode. This is Locked On Badgers, the show that brings you all things Wisconsin basketball and football all week long. Find us wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify. You can also find us on Twitter at Locked On Badgers. Make sure you give us a follow there. Make sure you hit that subscribe button in Apple. Make sure you hit that follow button on Spotify so you never miss a Locked On Badgers episode. Ben, we're going to start national here because there have been some huge stories recently and some very interesting ways they've broken with the Lincoln Riley situation, with the Brian Kelly situation. And of course, we're going to get into Paul Chryst. We're going to get into Wisconsin, and we're going to try to calm the tensions right now in the Badger community and the Badger fan base, because you see some wild things on Twitter when you lose a game like that.
Asher, first things first, you mentioned bowl season. Do you want to break news on this podcast right now?
What, Wisconsin got their bowl game?
No, I can do it. You can echo it. Wisconsin will not be playing in the Duke's Mayo Bowl this year.
Okay, so I thought it was pretty funny that Sports Illustrated had Wisconsin playing Clemson in the Duke's Mayo Bowl in their projections, not only because that would be absolutely hilarious, but also because it can't happen because the Duke's Mayo Bowl game, is it SEC versus ACC this year?
Yeah.
That's not my problem.
Duke's Mayo Bowl, not our problem. Broken trophies, not our problem. Ben, big news over the past couple of days. Lincoln Riley goes to USC.
Over the last like 24 hours. It's insane.
So have you seen the tweet, which first of all was one of the funniest tweets I've ever seen because of the way it was phrased. But the tweet that said what Lincoln Riley's getting.
Yeah.
At USC. Robert Hefner V, who is a hashtag Sooner Insider with a happy face emoji. That's what his bio says. But the beginning of his bio says, energy, technology, politics. All that I'm given and do comes from the up above emoji. And Ben, he released Lincoln Riley's USC contract details. And the reason I think he knows some of this is really freaking hilarious, but I'll get to that in a sec. So Lincoln Riley to USC, leaving Oklahoma, which puts Spencer Rattler, I don't know if this put him in the transfer portal, but
no, he's in the portal.
But it happened, right? No, I'm saying I don't know if one led to the other because I think that might have already been in the – yeah, okay, okay. That might have already been in the works. But Lincoln Riley's getting $110 million. USC's buying both his homes in Norman for $500,000 over asking price.
Genius.
They're buying a $6 million home in L.A. for him. And he gets unlimited use of the private jet 24/7 for family. The best part, though, of this whole tweet was the beginning when he says, not confirmed, best I could do in terms of getting the contract details. But the second best part, Ben, was the second tweet in this thread where he says, for those asking about two houses, the Rileys just finished building their new one and we're moving into it.
My question is USC going to pay his taxes too?
I highly doubt that. But that's, yeah, it's like billions and millions in taxes. But hey, if they're paying all that, why not let it fly? Brian Kelly, on the other hand, Ben, leaving Notre Dame for LSU, interesting move, probably going to get paid more in the SEC. He was actually pretty underpaid in terms of compared to his peers at Notre Dame. And did you see that a message that he sent to the team, a text message, leaked? And now everyone can see it. He did not let the team know before the news came out. So obviously the news gets broken. The team doesn't know. They find out with reports and on Twitter. And so Brian Kelly has to send this long text message. And they're going to have a meeting tomorrow at 7 a.m. But point is, he's gone. He's at LSU.
Who's going to that meeting?
7 a.m.
I wouldn't. Hell no.
7 a.m.?
It does make me feel a little better that college athletes and the people directly related to these situations also find the news on Twitter.
That's the new way of the world, man.
It's crazy. I mean, there's so many hilarious angles of this and hilarious jokes that have been thrown out there. Like the Notre Dame job being the second thing to land in Urban Meyer's lap this season.
Yeah, it Ridiculousness.
But I like loyalty in college football is it's never really been a thing, right?
Never.
And even when you think it is, money will prize someone away. Or in Lincoln Riley's case, Oklahoma wants to go to the SEC. He's like, all right, I don't. So I'm out. And he goes to the Pac-12, which is turned in, minus Oregon, more of a cupcake conference than most.
Yeah, I agree with that. Even as our resident Pac-12 lover, I do agree with that. You can't compare it to the SEC on the football field, Ben.
No. So I have a few direct Wisconsin angles. Obviously, the Badgers are playing Notre Dame in a couple years. Brian Kelly not being there, it makes their chances better. Brian Kelly is a tremendous head coach. I say what you want about his character and whether you like him or not. He has proven to be at Notre Dame, which is a cold weather place where it's pretty hard to lure the top recruits in the country. And it's very high academic standards. You're talking not a program in a conference. He's recruited very well, done obviously great on the field. He's not going to be there. So Wisconsin plays them in a couple years. That's good news. But Billy Shrout, Asher, class of 2022, in-state Wisconsin, four-star interior offensive lineman. He's been back and forth pretty much between Wisconsin and Notre Dame reportedly throughout the entire recruiting process. Recently, I believe in October, there were a couple crystal balls on 24/7 Sports predicting him to choose Notre Dame. It was looking like they were getting an edge over the Badgers. Brian Kelly leaving, that pretty much changes everything for him in my eyes. Now it seems like if Shrout commits to Wisconsin, Paul Christ owes Brian Kelly a thank you note.
So Ben, since I've been covering Badger recruiting closely over the last 3 years or so, I'd say that the three schools, two above all, I'd say like the three schools that Wisconsin always seems to be locked into a recruiting battle with. One is Notre Dame, always, over almost anybody. Penn State also seems to be a very common one. Another Big Ten schools as well. And then the one kind of random one has been Arizona State. I don't know if you've noticed that, but like every kid that Wisconsin wants, Herm Edwards also wants. That's been kind of weird over the past few years. But Notre Dame is probably the biggest name that Wisconsin has always locked into big recruiting battles over. And that is a huge win for the Badgers in terms of, yes, Notre Dame might hire someone awesome, but they won't have the rapport with guys they've already recruited there. And that could lead to some Badger flips for sure.
And in my opinion, I don't know anything about this scenario. I don't see Shrout going down to LSU. That doesn't. Lincoln Riley goes to USC. You see a lot of his high profile commits follow him there. This is not one of those situations in my eyes.
Yeah, absolutely. Today's episode.
Should we touch on Jim Leonard or is that next?
Next up, don't worry.
Okay.
We're talking Paul Christ. We're talking Jim Leonard. We're talking the future of the Badger program this offseason, kind of giving you a primer for what we're thinking, what we think should happen, because we couldn't get into it all on Monday. There was too much to get to with the game and all that good stuff. And that episode still went super long. So thank you for listening to that if you actually did make it through the whole thing. We appreciate you. Today's episode is brought to you by NetSuite. Ben, this is it. You have the choice of, and I've completely changed this read because it is now a Wisconsin read. You have the choice to punt the football when your win percentage says it would be 25%, or you could go for it on 4th-and-1, which would give you a 45% win percentage, Ben, late in the fourth quarter. You have those two options. What do you decide to do? You decide to play it safe. You decide to punt because you don't have the systems in place to tell you what percentage each outcome results in. You don't have the data in front of you, Ben. And if you're a business and you don't have the data, you are struggling. That's why you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. You can have visibility and control over all the data, financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and more. NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your process and close your books in no time while staying ahead of your competition. 93% of businesses that use NetSuite increased their visibility and control, and over 27,000 businesses are already using it right now. Through the end of the year, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program to those ready to upgrade. You can find that one-of-a-kind financing program at netsuite.com/NCAA, NETSUITE.com/NCAA. Today's episode is also brought to you by Prize Picks, the place that makes daily fantasy easy, offering more college football props than anyone in the world. Yardage, touchdowns, all the Wisconsin props you could think of are on Prize Picks. You can even mix and match different sports, and it's super easy to deposit. Use the promo code 100% into deposit match with this promo code up to 100 bucks. That code is locked on. 100% into deposit match up to 100 bucks. Promo code locked on. Combine sports. Use it on the app. Use it on your website, on your desktop, I should say. Award-winning app. It has it on the App Store. Has it on Google Play. And, of course, prizepicks.com. Make sure you use that promo code locked on for a 100% instant deposit match up to 100 bucks. Prize Picks is safe, offers very fast withdrawals. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It is that easy. Prizepicks.com, daily fantasy made easy. Let's do it. Wisconsin, our first talk of the offseason, Ben. Jim Leonard, Paul Christ, where do we begin?
That was an all-time read, by the way.
Which one?
The NetSuite one, not including putting, and instead, punting on fourth and one with 4 minutes left in the game, down 10.
Dodgers read. I'm not supposed to do that, but I think it's way more appropriate to show you that your business might need the data with NetSuite, and your football team definitely needs the data too.
Love it. Love it. So, Asher, I just tweeted this out, and everybody appears to be taking the under, but over-under, do you think, and this does not include random people on Twitter and online bringing this up.
You're not
over under
JJ Post.
Yes, does not include JJ Post.
We love JJ though. He's
a
Twitter presence.
Well, I know he's been bringing this up probably
could
all
be,
season.
Could be a top five follow, I will say right now.
Yeah, he's great. He's great, even though he's now a Notre Dame guy. But yes, over under 4 days until someone of prominence says the words Jim Leonard and Notre Dame in the same sentence. I would take the under.
I would also take the under. Because there's going to be an article, Ben, it's coming soon, of top five options to replace Brian Kelly at Notre Dame. And our boys at Fighting Irish Wire might do it.
They already did. They already did it.
Is Jimmy in it?
He's not. I was surprised.
I know Luke Fickle's in there.
Luke Fickle.
Natty head coach.
I need to go back and look through it. Marcus Freeman, who's their defensive coordinator, okay, He'll probably get the job. In all honesty, because of all this craziness and everyone going everywhere, especially unexpectedly, right? These two moves are massive for the sport, and they both came as pretty instant and blindsided. But we're going to start the whole annual Jim Leonard to this, Jim Leonard to that. That whole rumor cycle is going to start probably 3 weeks early this year. It's going to happen.
Yeah, he's right? One of the Packers. I know.
It happens every single year. So my one request to everybody is don't freak out. People are going to tweet things. They're going to say things. And a lot of the time, it could be reported, one, to drive up a price for someone else, to drive up maybe Leonard's price. I don't really know. But these reports aren't all, this is completely what's happening, right? We see it all the time in NFL free agency or MLB free agency. This team rumored to be looking at this person for this much money. Really, it's the other team's agent saying, I want my guy to get more money. So I just look at the reports, take them with a grain of salt, maybe, because until we see Leonard or Wisconsin announce something, I'm not going to believe anything because it's every year.
100% agree with that. Let's get into Paul Christ talk real quick. You wrote a really good piece that I pretty much fully agree with over at BadgersWire.com, talking about this offseason, telling people to just take a step back for a sec. Calm down. The Badgers lost the game. It happened. They lost a game that they shouldn't have lost. They lost the game in pretty embarrassing fashion. There were many big coaching mistakes in that loss, Ben, that we've already detailed. If you haven't listened to Monday, go listen back to Monday. We talked all about them. We went through the entire game. We're not going to get into that, but we are going to talk about his future. And I think you and I are on the same page about what his future should be at Wisconsin.
Well, yeah, he should stay. Him getting fired, as I've said, it would be an irresponsible move. Making a instant decision like this after a tough loss, after a tough season or maybe two seasons, is a really irresponsible move, because when you make a move of this magnitude, and I'm going to bring up an analogy in a second, when you make a move of this magnitude, you have to do it understanding what problems you're trying to fix, right? I know what a dead football team looks like. I know what a dead program looks like. I watched the Chip Kelly era in Philadelphia. we all knew towards the end of that, it wasn't working. The team wasn't able to play for him. Him there was not going to work. So the problem was, well, he has lost complete touch with the team. Sometimes there are problems of, oh, he's really struggling recruiting. There isn't enough talent. Sometimes it's, well, just not that good of a coach, not as good as we thought. Sometimes people are just there. They overstay. They're just there for too long. I don't want to say people get bored of each other, but you understand what I'm saying. Here, the glaring problems that Wisconsin faced this season are, it's something we've seen for a while, but they had an offense, or still have. They still have a game left. They had an offense that without a dominant run game really struggles. Whenever the quarterback has to throw 30, 40 times, they lose games. That is a glaring problem that they're going to need to fix. The thing is, when you look at it, getting rid of Paul Christ is not going to fix that. That's just saying we're going to make this move as an action because Wisconsin would never make a move because everyone wants it to happen, but it would be making a move just as a reaction to losses, as opposed to actually trying to do something proactive to fix what was wrong. So I think him going would
That's what we have to focus on. There was something wrong, and here's what I think it was. And this is essentially what you said in the article, pretty much. Jim Bolzien did something. I want to say this was maybe week 3 or 4 of the season. You know, he has his open gym segment now at the State Journal where he's answering questions from fans on Twitter, and he does articles about those questions that fans ask him. He's a really great Wisconsin writer. I'm sure most of you listening know him and know his work. And I think he was on the money about this back in, say, week 3, week 4, whenever it was. And I think it needs to be addressed this offseason. Paul Christ, Ben, and what Jim wrote in his column was that Paul Christ has too much on his plate. He had way too much on his plate all year long. You're talking about a guy that was the head coach of the program, the offensive coordinator, and all of a sudden somebody that had to coach the quarterbacks, which was probably the most important position group, is the most important position group on most football teams, I think was definitely the most important position group on this football team in terms of what was holding them back from success a year ago coming into this past season. What did they need to fix? It was that room. And Wisconsin lost their quarterbacks coach in John Boonmaier, went to Colorado State, took the offensive coordinator job at Colorado State, an upgrade for him. But Paul Christ had 3 jobs and really only needed to have one. He should be the head coach. He should be in charge of the program as a whole. He should have somebody different running this offense. He should have somebody different than them running the quarterbacks room. And what that means, yes, is that you probably have to make position coach changes elsewhere and drop somebody from your staff because of the amount of guys allowed. And that's hard. So I don't know if Wisconsin's actually going to hire 2 separate guys, one for offensive coordinator, one for quarterbacks coach, but even one other guy is needed for sure. And maybe they can take on that dual role of OC/QB's coach when they get brought in, because I think a quarterback whisperer would be the perfect person for that job.
Yeah, I would probably make that the same guy. And I would love for it to be someone outside of a classic, this is a Wisconsin guy we're going to promote, or this is a guy that has worked for the program in the past. If Paul Christ were to be fired right now, it would be a similar move that Nebraska made when they got rid of Bo Pelini. That was a move they made. Nebraska was coming off a bunch of 10-win, 9-win seasons. And Asher, they thought that they could return to their prominence in the 2000s, in the 90s, where they were competing for national championships. They said 9 wins, 10 wins, that's not good enough. We want to make this move, change the program, and get it back to Nebraska football. Well, where are they now? They were just, what were they this season? 3-9, 1-9 in Big Ten play. I mean, they're a program that has lost every bit of relevance that they once had because they were reactive with some of these moves. So everyone's looking, oh, why is Wisconsin so content with going to insert bowl here and getting the Big Ten championship and losing? It's because, well, they are very good at doing what they do well. Paul Christ is great at that. And this is, when you look across the college football landscape, there aren't many programs that sustain success like Wisconsin has. Hell, look at, almost every blue blood program, minus your Alabamas, have had a head coaching opening in the last 2 years because they have a 5-win season and they're not content. They want to win a national championship. So everyone says, yeah, but this sport, it's about getting to the playoff. That's all this is about now. Well, the playoff is expanding soon. Wisconsin has a tough road to get to the 4-team playoff every single season as it is. They are fighting an uphill battle because they're playing in Ohio State, who recruits at the top of the country, in theory, in the Big Ten championship, or even in the Big Ten West. It's one of the more slept on divisions in college football, if we're being completely honest.
Oh,
so
why are you reminding me that the Buckeyes aren't in Indy this year? Oh my goodness.
I know. I know this was the year for it to happen.
Oh man.
But when the playoff expands, that's going to open a path for them not to need to go win in Indy to get to the playoff. So everyone's saying, I don't get why they're all content with random bowl games. It's because, well, they sustained success as good as almost anybody. So I'm with you. My fix is, because the things that were a problem was the run game and abandoning it when it seemed to not be working, forcing Graham Mertz to have to throw too much. But you also go further, and it's what we talked about after the Minnesota game yesterday. There are strategic decisions that Chris has struggled with this year. Is it because there's too much on his plate? I don't know. But there was the Army 2-point conversion. There was pretty much the entire game on Saturday. There have been other instances throughout the year. I want to see more of a new age type of guy come in, not to revolutionize the offense at all, because that would bring Wisconsin to something it isn't, which is exactly, once you lose that identity, you're going in the tank. Instead, I would just like to bring a new perspective, one that can maximize what Wisconsin already does well, and then bring the perspective of the newer age of football, where they can take an approach like we talked about yesterday when it comes to punting, when it comes to some strategic decisions, because there are times where that's the difference between a win and a loss. So I'm with you.
And I want to bring one more thing in. I completely agree about the offensive coordinator and bringing someone in from outside the family, which is so rare in Wisconsin athletics. It is so damn rare to hire someone outside the family, but it has to be done just a little bit more. I'm not saying I want a bunch of head coaches from completely outside the family. I'm not saying I want, you know, just completely no connection to the state, no connection to the Badgers at all, random people coming in and coaching. But like you said, someone that worked for a completely different type of program, right? A program that runs things totally differently. A program that has a head coach that is the opposite of a Paul Chryst. Like, that's a good thing to me. That'd be a good hire for Wisconsin. A successful program that has their success and finds their success in very different ways than Wisconsin finds theirs. I think
it doesn't have to be very different. I don't think it has to be very different, but just someone who doesn't come in with the exact same experiences and the exact same perspective.
And, you know, I think, Ben, if we're looking, and I finally get to shout out this sport on the podcast, but I think it is kind of relevant right now. If you're looking at the type of hire I'm thinking of, Wisconsin actually finally did it recently. They finally did it, and I think it's going to help them a ton. Wisconsin women's basketball went out and hired a coach in Marissa Mosley who really has no connection to the Badger State at all. She's a native of Massachusetts. She went to BU. She played at BU. And then where did she coach, Ben? Had a 9-year stint at UConn, where Gino Auriemma has put together a national powerhouse. And that's a very different type of program than Wisconsin football, because that program was completely just in the dumps when she took it over. So that's a different type of hire. And obviously it's a head coach. But I think that's a really good sign, because I'm not sure Wisconsin does that a decade ago. Hire somebody with literally zero Badger State connections, zero Wisconsin University connections, just none at all. And I think it's going to work out. That's my opinion on her. And I think it's going to be a good hire in the long run. But that's the kind of thing I'm thinking about, just a little bit more outside of the family.
Well,
I'm glad they did that with Marissa.
Wisconsin football did that in Gary Anderson. And I know that goes against our argument, but it needs to be brought up.
Fine.
But still, that's not the guy that's running the program. Nothing within the structure is changing.
We don't want a head coach. And I think one of the reasons that you saw the Gary Anderson thing, Ben, and what you're seeing right now is there's no loyalty in college football. So when you hire the head coach as someone with really no connection to your program at all, they're going to up and leave. Like, it's going to happen. There's no loyalty.
They're going to up and leave, they're going to up and leave like Lincoln Riley and just leave you in the tank, or
exactly,
they're not going to get it. And
exactly,
people bring up Jim Leonard a lot. And Jim Leonard is going to be the next head coach at Wisconsin. We just don't know when it's going to be. I think whenever Paul Chryst is done coaching at Wisconsin, whether he retires, whatever happens, Jim Leonard is going to become head coach. However, that might not happen from him being defensive coordinator here. A lot of people say, you got to get rid of Chryst and promote Leonard. because what if Jim Leonard leaves and takes a job elsewhere? Even if he does that, Asher,
coming right back.
Even if he does that and the job opens in 7 years, 6 years, sooner, later, I don't know, he will come back and take the job.
100%.
So I'm not concerned about that at all. Now, the structure of it specifically that we're talking about could look a lot of different ways. I'm going to get into that as the offseason starts about specific guys that could be brought in, whether it's to be a quarterback's coach / offensive coordinator, whether it's a – and Joe Rudolph, Temple, I believe, has an opening at offensive coordinator. And I've seen people bring up his name as a guy that could fit, not people close to the situation, but in terms of conceptually, he's a Pennsylvania guy. It could be an offensive line coach, offensive coordinator. There are a lot of different ways it could look. But the idea of bringing in a fresh perspective, taking some off Chris' plate, and moving forward still with the same team and the same approach, but with new faces there, I think it needs to happen. Because think about this, and I'll ask you this. If they enter next season with exactly how they're constructed now, I don't see how they go ahead and win a Big Ten championship next year. I don't know if that's too far of a statement.
Well, I'll answer that statement in a sec. And I'm going to tell you just this one last thing that I think Wisconsin needs to think about. And we're not going to get into it fully because the episode's almost done, but I promise you we'll get into it this offseason quite a bit. And I think there'll be some chatter about it nationally this offseason quite a bit. But first, you listen to podcasts for the power of knowledge, and you switch to Boost Mobile for the power of saving money. Get 3 unlimited data lines for $30 a month per line and a free 5G phone when you switch to Boost Mobile. So you can get those latest Locked On Badgers episodes, those Locked On Podcast Network episodes, all on one of America's largest 5G networks. More power to save, Boost Mobile. Today's episode is also brought to you by BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts with everything from NFL football to college football playoff stuff to the NBA nightly. Head to the new website, head to the mobile device, and make sure you sign up with our code Locked On, a 50% welcome bonus added to your first deposit. Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet Online, where the game starts. Wisconsin should look at the quarterback transfer portal.
Yes, yes, yes.
Wisconsin has to look for a quarterback. I have completely 100% believe it. I'm going to be the first to say I didn't see enough. I didn't see enough this year from Graham Mertz to tell me that Wisconsin can have no viable backup option. It's not, I'm not saying Wisconsin needs to bring in someone that they are expecting to start 100%. They're going to start over Mertz. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying Wisconsin has not seen enough from their quarterback to justify not having a backup option that they feel can win them football games.
Yeah, a guy to compete with Mertz. And we've talked about Graham all season, but I did not see enough. However, there were a lot of times where he wasn't in a great spot to do well. And what we just talked about with the head coach, I also don't think it was the best dynamic within the building for him to really find his peak success. But I do agree. They do need to look at guys, and I will start to list them as the offseason goes on. Spencer Rattler did enter the transfer portal yesterday. Now, I say that mildly jokingly, but I do think they need to enter next season with a guy in the transfer portal to compete with Mertz.
Emphasis on the mildly, by the way. Yes. And by the way, Ben, to answer your question fully, I agree. Wisconsin, as currently constructed, will not win the Big Ten championship next year or even be seriously, seriously in the running for one. Big Ten West, absolutely. But I don't see any way, as currently constructed, I feel comfortable saying this team can pull the upset in Indy.
Yeah. And final note, Jalen Berger to Michigan State. Wish him the best. I'm excited to watch him play every game except when he plays Wisconsin.
As always, on Wisconsin, we'll see you on Wednesday.